Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I got to tell you, I'm excited today about what God has. I believe that God has a word for our church today. I am thrilled to be talking about what I'm talking about. But before I put it up on the board, just give it just a little bit. I'm going to set it up and then I'll tell you, okay, here's what I'm talking about today. I believe that God has a plan for each and every life. Do you believe that today? God has a plan for your life. Here's the thing. You can believe that and then you can look at some people's lives and you can think, but wait a minute here. I know those people were serving God, and that just could not have been God's plan. That could not have. Well, let me say this. There is a plan that God has for your life, and He knows that that plan has to be implemented into a fallen world. So bad things occasionally do happen to great people. You can see that all through the Word. But that doesn't deviate from what God's plan is. And what we oftentimes do, I was reading something Michelle had. She has little notes and things on our computer and different places in the house. And she don't know this, and I've never even talked to her about it. So right now she's hearing it the first time you are. She's, oh no. These little notes that are all around the house, I'll go around and I read them and I go, wow, that's what my wife's wanting to put into her thinking. Obviously, that's what I need to put into mine. And I was reading one that was on the counter, and it was right underneath, well, it don't matter where it was. It was speaking to me about something I needed to think right on. And so anyway, I'm looking at this note, and it says something, and I thought, that's how I'm going to set up today, because we need to hear this. Faith is not built on the things that are happening in our natural lives. That's not how faith is built. And I think that a lot of times people are trying to strengthen and build their faith on circumstances of what they see. And faith isn't built on circumstances and what you see. And you know, a lot of times preachers are guilty of getting up and saying, But wait, look at this. Here's what you can have. And they're always talking about it in the natural. And it's hard sometimes to see that God is not moved by circumstance. He's moved by the promises of His Word and people lining up with it. And so today, I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. And that plan is not always going to be based on what you're seeing happening in the natural. Ooh, this is deep. Have I just dove right in? It was laid out. The plan for your life was laid out before you were born. And God knew before you were born that you were going to face that disaster you just faced. Really? Yeah. And He knew the plan that was going to happen to get you through it. He knew the plan. God set into motion several things for your life before you were even born. He set into motion the right people. He set into motion the right circumstances. He set into motion divine connections. And in your future, I want you to know today, God has all of these things prearranged and preordained already for you. That's not to say that you didn't have a choice. So, well, God prearranged and preordained, so I just get up and just float down the creek. I mean, what does it matter? I don't even need a paddle or an oar or anything. No, God gave you choices. He just knew in advance what choice you would make. He knew when you'd make the wrong choice. That doesn't mean that that wrong choice has to determine the course of the rest of your life. It means that wrong choice was made and you made it and He knew you were going to make it, but He's still got a prearranged plan that you can get a hold of and get inside of. He's still got predetermined connections in your life. He has preordained moments for you. And a lot of times he has those set up and he knew in advance you weren't going to take them. But how cool it is for the ones who said, and I'm going to walk into some of those that he set up for me. I look around the room and I just think of testimony after testimony after testimony. I'm looking at Rachel right now. Rachel, bless your heart. How in the world are you and your family even a part of this church? That doesn't make any sense to me at all. Divine connection of a stinking volleyball team. And it was a stinking one at that time. It was. But some divine connections. I don't know. Predetermined. I don't get that. I mean, Tyler and Veronica getting married here in just a couple weeks. It's ridiculous. Who would have ever put them two together? Not very many. But God said, if you'll make that choice, I'll set you in motion. If you'll without saying, I'm going to be sold out to the kingdom of God, I'm going to go to Leaders Academy. And it wasn't Leaders Academy, it was after that. I mean, Tyler had 2 years to look at her and go, huh, I wonder. And you know, I look at her and go, she never looked at you, Tyler. I watched her. So be quiet about that, huh? God has a plan for your life. And he's going to set it in motion based on the choices that you make. Well, be real careful about your choices. Be real. 2 Peter. Well, I got a lot today. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. By his divine power. I love this passage of scripture. It's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. By his divine power in verse 3 it says, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. God has given us everything we... God has given. That is past tense. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Why are so many people not living godly? Well, because God hasn't given yet. No. The Bible says he has given everything that you're needed. Everything that you're in need of has been given for you to live a godly life. We've received all of this. How? By coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of that glory and excellence, he's given us great and precious promises. You know, God's made a whole bunch of promises. Whole bunch of promises for your life. These are the promises, it says, that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Boy, humans have desires that oftentimes will corrupt them. And God says, I've got some promises for you that'll help you escape that stuff. I've got some promises for your life. I mean, and everybody here would go, and I'm interested in those. I want to know what those are. Well, that's why you're in church this morning. We've got to figure this out. He says everything has been given. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense again, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ. Even before he made the world. Everyone say before he made the world. Even before he made the world, God loved us. And he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God chose a whole bunch of people to be holy, without fault. God chose you today to be holy and without fault. Here's the problem. A lot of people say, that's great, I'm glad he chose me, but I'm not choosing him. You think that can happen? Well, of course it can. A lot of people aren't choosing God. Verse 11. Because we're united with Christ, this is in Ephesians 1:11, we've received an inheritance from God. Because we are united with Christ, we've received an inheritance. For he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Really? Yes, that's the Bible. He makes everything work out according to he has a plan. He has a plan for those that he has chose and they chose him and they get connected up. God has a plan. That's not to say he doesn't have a plan for a lot of other people. And I believe there's a plan for a lot of other people. But he gave them the choice and he gives you the choice. Praise God. Come on, today you made a choice. Thank God you made a choice. And I think that we've got to do that. We've got to thank God that we're making a choice every day. Over time, as you start seeing that he makes everything work out according to his plan, you start seeing the longer you're a Christian, you start maturing in the Lord, you start seeing that there are supernatural blessings and favor of God. How many could just kind of wave their hand and say, I've seen that. I've seen that. That didn't make any sense, but I've seen God's supernatural favor. And we can say because, based on what we just read, he has preordained breaks for your life. And some have probably said, I didn't deserve that. There was four other people ahead of me for that promotion, but I got it. That don't make any sense at all. But there's just a preordained favor. Man, I was hurting for money, and I was praying, I was believing, I was out putting an application, and then I got a job, and it was way better than I had expected. I mean, some people kind of take the ditch on that and say, boy, I was praying and just believing that God would just show up with a fish, and so I went fishing because I know that money can just come in a fish's mouth. I put myself... They kind of, why don't you pray for a job instead of just praying somebody hand you a $100 bill? Go out and get a job. And see, God has some preordained jobs for people to go out and get so they can make some money. God has a lot of things set up, and you can look at your life and go, wow, his promises are real, and that is a preordained thing. I didn't know that, but he had that already figured out for me. I can look in my life and I can think, wow. I can look back and say, wow, I made some good choices, and I can see that God's hand was in that. Just because it was a good choice, a preordained plan, he covered up a lot of my mess ups and made my wife think that I was kind of cute, and I wasn't. He made my wife, I don't know. I mean, what about free? I don't know. Whatever he did, he didn't make her, but he set me up and cover up a bunch of junk. And made her go, he looks pretty good. Come on, Tyler, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Everybody here has experienced something in this area. God has released circumstances as you have been faithful, and you can testify he's blessed you. Everybody go, yeah, I see that. You've been given everything already to accomplish everything that you need. Let me set up the title of this today. It's all the setup that I'm going to get into preaching. Here's what I want you to see. If I was to say, hey, come with me, what would you say? Where are we going? It's exactly what you'd say. Hey, come with me, where are we going? And I said, you don't worry about it. Just come with me. What would you do? You'd start worrying. But if I went ahead and said, hey, come with me, I've already got everything that you'll need. That wasn't what I was expecting right now, not right now. They would worry, but some of y'all might not. I got everything you need. I got everything taken. If I was saying, hey, come with me, and you think we're going hunting, and I said, we got everything we need, they'd be like, yeah, he probably does. You trust me. Yeah, he's got it. Come with me. He's got I got everything that you're gonna need. Would you go? Well, it kind of depends on where your trust is. If you would trust and had seen the fruit in my life, and you kind of go, yeah, I think I go with him over. But you'd need to know where we were going. And we're asking people to follow God. And they're not understanding that he's wanting to take you somewhere, but they don't get that because they're so comfortable right where they're at. And God's saying, come with me. And he's saying, I've already taken care of everything you need for living a godly life. Oh, godly life, but I'm kind of enjoying some of my life. See, I got everything you need. Come with me. That's Jesus. He said, come with me. Come on, I got everything you need. And you're saying, well, I trust in him. Come with me. I got everything you need. But you're not willing to put your tithe in every week. Come with me. I got everything you need. But church just really isn't that important. Come with me. I got everything you need. Pray with that young man at that counter. I got everything. See, when he's saying, come with me, I got everything you need. And he's saying, but I need you to come with me. Here's the thing. If I said, come with me, and you believed that I had everything you need, when we would get there, you know you who you'd have to go to get what you need? You'd have to come to me. If we're hunting, I got everything you need, and we get there, and I get out of the truck and say, start right here, and I just take off and leave you, what would happen? You'd be like, I thought you said you had everything that I needed. No, no, no. You'd have to stay with me if you're going to get what you need. People are saying, God, I need you, but you've not stayed with him. God, I need you. I need you. Well, stay. Stay with me. I got everything you need, but you got to stay with me. You got to stay with me. And you know what I find in Scripture is when people stay with God, wherever they go, whatever they do, they stay with God, everything they're in need of comes. And it's not always from a natural standpoint, it's supernatural. Peace is there. Joy. The fruits of the Spirit just start being evident in a person's life who stays with God. Today, the title of this sermon is Stay and Move. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. If I set it up right, it's making perfect sense. See, if you're going to plant something and produce a harvest, you got to keep that plant planted. You got to keep your life as a Christian. When you sign up for Christianity, you need to stay in. And then you move. But you stay plugged in and then you move. You stay plugged in and then you move. You can't grow if you don't stay. You can't move into things of God if you don't stay. Many times in my life, I've asked this question, what in the world happened? Have you ever thought that question through? What just happened? You can't explain it. You're not really sure how it came about. You just walked into something. You're like, wow, I can't believe this. God has a prearranged plan. There are other times that you're walking around, you go, I just can't believe that this happened. And you've got to put that one on, we're in a fallen world. But that doesn't negate God's plan. A fallen world, fallen things happen. Before you were born, Galatians 1:15, even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Jeremiah 1:5, he said to Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. God has a prearranged plan for your life. I look back on my life and I go, wow. I have royally messed it up in a lot of areas. But I can also tell you that after every one of those areas of mess up, when I really, really, really started staying in the things of God, he just turned that around and made it. My mess up? Yeah, my mess up. I look back and I go, problems, frustrations, turmoils, I've had it. And now I'm pushing 50 years old and I get up and look at my life and I sometimes scratch my head and go, how in the world am I here? I never dreamed I'd wear this size of pants. There are other times I'm scratching my head and I'm going, you know what? How in the, she's still married to me and we're pushing 30 years of marriage now. But, oh, never dreamed. Still, God's making me look better than I am. Still doing an amazing thing. I look back and I say, wow, I never dreamed that I could have the joy in life that I have. Boy, I never dreamed I'd be pushing 50 and have a peace that I'm able to walk in. There are things in the natural, there are things in the supernatural, and I can look and I can go, wow, I'm able to give more now than what my giving to the kingdom of God is more than I made when I started working. I'm like, wow. God, that's just amazing to me. When I was 6, when I was 10, when I was 18, when I was 25, I didn't see any of this stuff. And I'm giving you a little bit of this testimony because what I want you to see is, young people, God will do it, but you got to stay. You got to stay. That didn't happen at 25. I was thinking she was getting ready to leave me at 25. I don't know how she goes. I didn't get all this. You try to walk separate from the Lord, then you're going to miss everything that you're in need of. to live the life that he's called you and the promises that you're praying for. You got to stay faithful through the good and the bad times. Many years ago, I didn't have any idea what all God had for me. I didn't have a clue. I did not know. It didn't make sense to me. What happened at 14 years old is I broke my leg, and I was a basketball player, and I had made the team, and I thought, I am really good. And even some people had told me that. I didn't just think it. I was told that. I can play basketball. I know you won't look at me now and go, basketball? Maybe a hunter. Maybe a front lineman for the football team, but not... I was a basketball player, and I broke my leg my freshman year of high school before the first game. My high school career ruined, over. I had to give up sports. Let me give you a short testimony here. I gave up sports. I dove into music. By doing that, over the next 4 years, a lot of music, I went to scholarship or went to college on a scholarship for music. Stayed there for a little bit. Got a lot of other training besides music. Started singing in Branson because music just was kind of the route I was bent towards. Started touring across the country. Met a man named Tim Brooks. Saw a church that was functioning very well, and families really liked each other, and marriages were figured out. And I just thought, this is amazing. And I had a marriage that was falling apart. I didn't know much about the kingdom of God. I didn't understand that everything that was needed for my life had already been given. I didn't know that. I thought, I need a lot. And I didn't recognize that if I just stay hooked up, then I could get the promises. But I needed to learn what they were. I look and I go, I met Tim Brooks. I got to have what is in the life of the people of that church. God's people had spoke into my life. And now you jump forward 18 years and there's a church right here in Southwest Missouri that duplicates that. Why? Because of all these mess ups in life. Really? Yeah, it was all the mess ups that Romans 8:28 started making sense to me. You might want to turn there. It's pretty cool. It says, we know that God causes. He causes all things to work together. He causes a broken ankle and leg. He causes a bad relationship. He don't make those things happen, but he causes all those things that did happen to be turned around and work for your good. For God knew his people in advance. He chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We're to be like Jesus. Why? Because we need to be the example to person after person after person. Many coming to know Jesus. He'd be the firstborn among a whole bunch of the kingdom of God. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called, let's just say us, he called Ashley. He called Rachel. He called Tyler. You put your name, he called you and he gave you right standing with himself. And he gave him the right standing. He also gave him his glory. And I think about that and I think, then why are so many Christians so distraught? Why are their lives so messed up? If God gave them all this stuff, here's why. Because they haven't stayed. They haven't stayed. I've watched people get thrilled about the things of God. Start every day listening to podcasts, diving into the Word, and then you look at their life and go, what in the world? They didn't stay. They didn't stay. Boy, I pray today that if you're going to come to a harvest party and you're going to say, God, I'm believing you for the harvest, you better stay. You better stay planted. See, what was meant to kill you, God can turn around and bless you with. He does it in a way I couldn't have figured it out. It was really horrible breaking my leg. It was horrible some of the life things that I were doing. All of that's horrible. But he taught me how to live, how to love life. And then all of those things now, he's going to use. I wouldn't recommend repeating any of them. They're horrible. I don't think that anybody should have to go through some of what you've had to go through. I know some of your stories. It's horrible. I'm not discounting the pain that's in the horrible. It's horrible. But what I'm telling you is we have a God that has a plan for your life. We could go around the room right now and most of you'd have a testimony about divine appointments. But I want to look at a Bible story, Ruth 2. Ruth chapter 2. Ruth, she went through a series of difficulties in her life. She lost her husband in battle. Naomi was her mother-in-law, and she lost both her sons. There was a famine in the land. It was a difficult time where they lived, the place of Moab. Naomi comes to Ruth here before what I'm setting up, because we're going to go to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth is Naomi's mother-in-law. Ruth is Naomi's daughter-in-law, and says, Ruth, I want you to know I'm not going to live here in Moab. I can't stay here anymore. This isn't for me. I have no families. I have no relatives. My husband is gone. Your husband's gone. I'm going to return to my country. And they're processing this whole situation. And Ruth says to Naomi, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'm going to stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Now you think about if someone were to say that to you. Naomi had faced a horrible situation. Ruth had saw that, and Ruth was in a horrible situation. And what are we going to do here? This is not good. And Ruth says, I want to go where you're going. I want to stay where you're staying. I want your people to be my people, and I want your God. Not to be your God, and I'll just follow you, but I want your God to be my God. I want God. Okay, so that's all that's happening. See, Ruth is leaving with Naomi. Naomi is encouraging Ruth. No, you need to stay with your family. And Ruth says, no, I'm going with you. You don't have any family there. Stay here. Ruth says, no, I'm going with you. The other daughter-in-law says, no, I ain't going with you. I'm staying right here in Moab. She had two of them. Ruth goes with her mother-in-law. I'm going with you, Naomi. Ruth goes out in the field after they get where they're going, and she tries to gather any leftover grain that'd be left over from the reapers. As they went through the field, she'd follow them. Here's the story. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. Now there was a wealthy and an influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. One day, Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, let me go out into the fields to pick up the stalks of grain that are left behind anyone who is kind enough to let me pick those up. Naomi said, all right, my daughter, go ahead. So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. And as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. While she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you, he said. The Lord bless you, the harvesters replied. Then Boaz asked his foreman, who is that young woman over there? Who does she belong to? The foreman replied, she's the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather some grain behind the harvesters. She's been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes resting in the shelter. Boaz went over and said to Ruth, listen, my daughter, stay right here with us, and when you gather grain, don't go to any other field. Stay right behind the young women working in my field. See which part of the field they're harvesting and then follow them. I've warned the young men not to treat you roughly, and when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well. Ruth fell at his feet, thanked him warmly. What have I done to deserve such kindness? She asked him, I'm only a foreigner. And then if you jump on down to 14, it says that later on she was allowed to eat with them. So Boaz gives the workers some instructions, lets her eat. And in verse 15 and 16, later that afternoon, Ruth returns to Naomi. She has a huge basket of grain, cooked grain. I'm sure Naomi was like, where did you get all of this? Where did you get all? Because they had just been gathering the scraps. And she's walking with all of this grain. And you know Naomi's, what in the world? And she said, I just walked into it. I don't really have an excuse. What can you get from this story? Ruth had a horrible situation. But yet she walks in with a handful of blessing. I don't know how it's going to happen for you. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I know this, if you'll stay hooked up, there's going to be a handful of blessings starting to come your way. Ruth stayed with God's people. He made the Lord. She made the Lord her Lord. Quit bellyaching about everything that's going on in life and start getting to a point to say, well, wait a minute here. I'm going to stay where God's people stay. I'm going to live where God's people live. I'm going to make their God my God. And quit living on somebody else's, but live on what God has for you. Boaz told his workers, and Ruth didn't even know he'd done it. He set Ruth up for provision. He set Ruth up for prosperity. He set Ruth up for blessing. Not that she deserved it, but he did it anyway because she stayed. She stayed. He lined out a future for her because she stayed. She stayed and she moved. Do you see what she did? She stayed with God and then moved and moved and moved. God has dropped handfuls of blessing for you on purpose. But if you're not going to stay with the things of God, with the people of God, you're not going to get the blessings of God. You got to stay. He's dropped wisdom and you're in need of it. You better be around some wise people. See, he's dropped divine circumstances. He's dropped right people into your life, right times. And they're all out there. And God has placed them there. And they're waiting on you just to come along and pick them up. Here is the problem. So many people aren't staying with the kingdom of God. And they're out there following people who's not dropping any blessings. And you're wondering why you're miserable. Well, I can tell you exactly why you're miserable. You haven't stayed. You haven't stayed. Ruth had it figured out. The other daughter-in-law, you never hear a word from her in Scripture again. You don't hear anything. Well, what happened to her? I don't know, but it wasn't significant enough to make Scripture. Ruth was. She did what was right. She walked in obedience. She didn't get distracted. She didn't let her past circumstances make her sit there and weep and ruin the rest of her life. I'm not saying she didn't weep, but I'm saying she didn't stay in that state and did. I don't know if I can. See, what? Here's the key. She did what was right. She walked in obedience. She didn't get distracted. The other one you never heard from again. Ruth did what was right. She stayed hooked up and moved. I'm not saying that it's not going to be hard to stay hooked up. It'll be difficult. Well, I'm leaving all my people. I'm just saying stay. Come on, stay. Stay because there are a handful of blessings that are getting ready to come your way. You just got to stay. You just got to stay. I want to encourage you today. Ruth did what was right. You can too. One day she was starving, didn't know what she was going to do. But right after, God's provisions are right there with her. You have no idea what God has dropped in your path for your future. But if you don't stay, you'll never see it. And it's sad for me to see men and women of God. I'm telling you, they could have had so much. But they weren't willing to stay. They just said, I can't handle this no more. I'm out of here. You got to stay. Don't live upset. Don't live frustrated. A lot of people live upset. Don't live worried with a chip on your shoulder. Ruth had all the reason to be upset, all the reason to live frustrated. Ruth could have gone into a tent and into depression the rest of her life, but her husband had passed. Her father-in-law was gone. There's no family here. There's a famine. We don't have any money. We don't have no food. Look, life's pretty bad. That's a major setback. I get that. And what seemed like a setback was actually a setup for life. Well, I don't see how that. I'm reading the end of the story. I know that you're not reading the end of your story. And that's where you got to live on faith, not on your circumstances. There are situations in life that seem terrible, but God has a plan in the middle of this horrible circumstance. He is dropping blessings for you, but you got to stay. I want to challenge you today. When you know that your life is divinely orchestrated by God, you can keep from getting frustrated and living in defeat. I've come to realize that there is nothing that happens to me. There's just things that happen, and they're going to be for me. Well, this is what happened to me. Why don't you change that thinking and say, well, wait a minute here. I'm not going to say that God did that. I'm not even about to go there. But what I'm going to say is God's going to use that. And that happening did some things for me that I don't know that I could have ever got to where. Boy, I know that I just don't know if I can think like that. I, I, I'm just using Ruth because I don't have a better. Right there is a great story out of the Word. He's dropping blessings for her, and she stayed hooked up. There's situations in life that are horrible, but God has a plan, and His plan includes things you didn't even think about. She didn't know that Boaz was going to orchestrate some things on her behalf. Every situation. We've got to have a level of expectation about what God is doing. And we got to clean up our attitude. We got to change our attitude. You're moving forward with your attitude. The wrong attitude will cause you to get off the path of where the handfuls have been laid for you. You thank God for where you are right now. God, I'm thrilled that right now it is well with my soul. What? Because the physical thing, it ain't well right now. I get that. But know this, it's well with my soul, and I'm just going to keep walking, and that handful of blessing will be. See, God's going to have somebody that just says, here, let me help you out. Thank God for where you're going to be in His kingdom, and thank Him for where you are in the supernatural. Well, I'm not there. Well, you can get there. You just got to stay in. You got to stay in. All of these moments, regardless of age, from 5 to retired, and I say 5 because I don't know if the younger ones can get all of this, but 5 up ought to be able to get this. Stay in. Stay in. Stay in. I know you, good grief, I've heard stay enough. Have you? Have you got that in your head? Because we got to stay. God's lined you up for some blessings. Well, it looks like my life, He's lined me up for some bad times. No, that's what a fallen world. I get that. We live in a fallen world, but I'm going to stay hooked up. I'm not going to lose my vision. And God's already released some things for me because it's already been done. I'm just going to walk into them. I'm going to walk into them. Blessings that have come into my life, I can look back now and I can tell you they were because I didn't quit. It would have been real easy just to quit on this. And I look at marriage as supernatural because it has to be to stay. People that aren't walking with God have a real hard time staying married. I'm just telling you, marriage is a supernatural deal. Well, how am I going to stay married? You better stay with God. Right. Marriage, how am I going to stay clean? You better stay with God because you can't stay clean without God. I mean, you just name one thing after another. Our attitude towards our outcome will oftentimes determine our outcome. How are you looking at this? You got to get up knowing today. Your handful could be setting in your next step and you just didn't even know it. Oh, I've been working. I've been believing. I've been giving my tithe. I've been doing it. You got to know that handful sitting there waiting. Don't quit. Don't quit. When you get a hold of that, it'll make you spring out of bed in the morning. Today could be my day. I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for God. When you get a hold of you, one moment of favor and it can propel your life in a way. I'm just telling you, I wouldn't wish a fire on anybody. It's horrible. It's just a natural circumstance. A fire happens and burns our house down in 2012. Most horrible thing I could ever. I mean, I shed a lot of tears over that. It was a horrible thing. My kids, what they had to go through, what my grandfather sat out in the front yard and watched this thing burn to the ground that he had built a lot by his own hand. Horrible. I'm just telling you, that propelled us so far forward. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. It's horrible. But what was meant to destroy us, God turned that around and propelled us to a place that we could have never, ever got without God coming in and doing something super. See, God will use a horrible circumstance. Well, Pastor, I just don't know. Look at Ruth. You don't even have to look at my life. Look at Ruth. Look at Ruth. One moment of favor propels you. Just boom. Adversity, obstacles, a lot of people will just give up and quit. Here's what you got to see out of this as we close. Boaz is a type and shadow of Jesus. The kinsman redeemer. The relationship redemption. I love this. Boaz took care of what was needed. She couldn't pay enough to get what was given. Boaz had already done it. Jesus already done it. He already paid it for you. He opened up a storehouse for you and I, and Boaz had the store. God did things for us. There are handfuls out there for each of us that Jesus has left for you. And people will say, well, that's great for you, and wow, how wonderful, and that's just great. That's just not ever worked for me. I'll never get that. You got to stay hooked up. And when you stay hooked up, then you start moving. Well, how do I move? You go to church. You go to a harvest party. You get on one of the teams that we have here and be involved with the body of Christ. You get plugged in. You say, I'm here. I'm gonna walk in the things of God. I'm gonna build my faith through the Word of God. I'm not gonna build it on my circumstances, because my life doesn't look real good, but my circumstances aren't what determine my outcome. My God does. And I'm gonna stay hooked up. Come on, I gotta stay hooked up. I couldn't dream big enough to make everything happen that God can make happen. I can't. I look and I see. I just can't even figure this out. I can't dream big enough. But the kingdom of God is real. It's real. And I'm just telling you, it works. And God wants you to receive the harvest of blessing. If you're here today, you're here today because we are all in agreement that the Word of God is real and alive. Galatians 6:9, let's not get tired of doing what's good. Let's stay hooked up. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Galatians 6:9, don't give up. Stay. Be careful that you don't find yourself living where people are living that aren't following the God you say you're to be following. You better watch where you're at. Better watch what you're doing. Why? Because I don't want to miss the handful of blessing that God has for my life. And I know I'm preaching to the choir right now. Why do I say that? Because right now we've got a whole bunch of people who are in line for the blessing.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.